Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we ask your blessings on the word, your holy word that we will read here shortly, as well as the message that has been prepared. We ask you to use it to build and support our faith and our souls and our spirit as we follow you in this world. Lord, be with us now as we share in celebration of you. We ask all these things now in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning comes from John 1, 1 through 16. I'm in the New Living Translation, so if you're following along with me, let's go to the Word and see what the Lord has to say. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes only from God himself. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only true Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am. He existed long before me.' From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is him himself, is God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome back to a beautiful Sunday morning. I was a little bit worried with the week's weather, whether we would be outside or inside. But what a glorious day to be with you in fellowship and worship. I want to begin by sharing with you a little bit about the book of John. I encourage each of you to read the entire book this week. It may sound like a daunting task, and I want you to read it, obviously, because it's the Bible and we should study it. But I want you to read the book of John, especially, because it's written by the Apostle John. And it's written in a special way. Rather than being maybe a comprehensive approach to the gospel, John writes it like a literary sketch, perhaps. I don't know if I'm using the right term here, but when you read the book of John, and I encourage you to do that, when you read the book of John, you can envision what John is trying to say here. And so I use the term, it may be inappropriate, but I use the term or wrong. I may be wrong in my use of it, but it appears to me as I read it, I can develop a scene, a sketch perhaps, of what's happening from the words on the page to a vision in my mind. This book is also written in a masculine perspective. You know, I've often said that men think on fact, and I think the guys in the audience would really enjoy the book of John because it's written in a way that provides fact. It provides evidence and proof of the life of Jesus Christ. You know, if you ever, and I know you don't, but if you ever, or someone does, if you ever question God or question Jesus, the book of John is where I think you can find a lot of your answers. You know, in fact, as I was reading, I've read John twice to study for this sermon, although I only used a very short portion of verse 1. But I think what John, Apostle John, is expecting us to do is as we read this, he wants us to read it as if we are researching to know more about our friend and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to read it in an investigative approach. Throughout the entire book of John, the author systematically presents evidence about Jesus. It's all about Jesus in the book of John. But then he takes it a step further because he wants us, in the very end, as the book closes, he brings it all together and basically he hammers home our commitment to Christ Jesus himself. He's asking us to commit to him. You know, I love all the books in the Bible, but I love the book of John because in the analogy, in its analogy, especially as it wraps itself up, it basically says, if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you can't ride the fence. Now, that's my terminology. That's layman's terms for me to you today. It basically says, hey, if you want to follow me, you can't ride the fence. And if you go back to my upbringing, my granddad would say, if you ride the fence, all you end up with is a sore bottom. You got to be on one side or the other. In short, I think what it's trying to say is you can't live your life keeping your options open on whether you want to follow Jesus or not, or if it's convenient for you, we'll follow him today. But hey, if we've got this thing on our own, appreciate it, Jesus, but I think we got it. It doesn't allow you to do that. It doesn't allow you to keep your options open. You got to pick a team. You know, I remember in our old elementary school, it's now torn, well, it still exists, but it's no longer occupied. On the playground, we would pick kickball teams. And sometimes you played on a team you really didn't want to be on because you got picked to be on it. Fat guys like me, we always got picked last until they realized we could kick the ball pretty good. But the long and the short of it is, you have to pick a team. And the book of John says, what side of the fence are you on? Or at least ask you. It commits you. It forces you to make that commitment. Well, I want to be on Jesus' team. You know, and if we use the baseball game analogy, I want to be on Christ's team, even if I'm fielding the ball, because I know I'm a winner in the end. I may drop the ball, I may get struck by the ball, all kinds of things may happen to me in that game of life, but I'm winning. I'm going to win in the end. I do remind you, though, if we use the baseball analogy, just like our life, there's 9 innings. And there only takes 3 outs per inning. So generally, lest we have a rain delay, ball games go pretty quick. And thus, so does your life. So I encourage you to read the book of John and make sure you have the right commitments at the end. So actually, what did we read this morning? Well, basically, Scripture told us that the same God that created the entire universe is the same God that came to give us new life within ourselves. Even though we didn't deserve it, he came anyway. The light of life that exposes and drives away total darkness in both our human race and in the world is the same light that come to save us. Scripture this morning speaks about the one true light, it says. The light within the world that is the source of all. The light of Christ dispels darkness. It eradicates darkness. And at the same time allows us, through our acceptance and hope in Him, to have a spiritual renewal in our life. regardless of where we are, regardless of how old we are. Scripture also speaks to the fact this morning that Christ's light comes through human interaction. You see it written in the Word this morning, but it requires this today. It requires you to come to worship. It requires you to gather. It requires you to connect. It requires you to share in human affection. It requires human interaction. I call your attention to what you already know, but Jesus came simply to touch and to heal and to allow the experience of God to be proven through His life to each and every person that surrounded Him. You see, Jesus came and He just didn't show up and here He was and, hey, glory, glory, and thank You, Lord, for being here, and it was over. He had human touch. He had interaction with every single person He met. And if we want to be like Him, which we all strive to do, or be more like Him, we should do the same. You see, through that human interaction and through that touch, He brought us love and forgiveness. And He did so simply to reveal God's truth to each one of us. Here's what I believe God's mercy says. I forgive you for all your wrongs. I love and accept you freely for the person you are. Think about that. I think that's what God's mercy is. I forgive you for all your wrongs, and I accept you for who you are, where you stand today. But then God's truth says this: I will show you what is true about me, about life, and about yourselves and others. Now, we don't like that too much. We love forgiveness. Forgiveness is great because even wherever we are in our life and whatever we've done, we know God's going to forgive us through Jesus Christ, through our acceptance of Christ Jesus. But we really don't like our truths to be told. But that's what God's truth is. It's absolute. It shows us truth about Himself. And then He shows us truth about life. He tells us how to navigate this world. If you read Scripture, everything that we face, we can find it in His Word. He gives us a map. He tells us how to manage it. But then He talks about our truth and the people around us. And that's tough sometimes for us. And then He goes on to say, to follow me, you can't be a fence rider. You got to pick one side or the other, and you're going to reflect my light. You shall reflect who I am to others through your action, through your human interaction. You see, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Friends, following Jesus is simply that. We accept Him and we reflect His light. We share with others the good news that we have accepted and understand and know. But yet we make it difficult. It is so simple that a formal education is not needed to understand your faith. It simply comes with the ability to accept. The reason that we make it difficult is we allow life storms to cloud our judgment and steer our ship. Simply put, we allow strong winds wherever they come, whichever direction they befall us. These winds of life extinguish our light. You know, I hadn't written this paragraph today until I attended to 5 days of Bible school at Pines Chapel. And on Friday night, this paragraph didn't exist in this message, even though I'd read the book of John twice. But on Friday night, these young people came down that aisle and they were singing and praising God and they were happy to be there. The adults were exhausted and thank God it's Friday, and the kids were hammering it home. And I thought to myself, tomorrow, Sunday's message has to have something about the power of God through the vision of a child. And here it is. Their lights don't get extinguished because they haven't accepted the world or believe the world can change them one way or the other. We do that. And friends, that needs to stop today. That's your message this morning. In reflection, that needs to stop today. Because if you allow the world to navigate your ship, your light has been extinguished, even though you have true faith and understanding in Christ Jesus. A long time ago, a story was told about a boat at sea. You know I love stories, so I'm going to tell you this story. This boat was helplessly rocking and plundering in the stormy seas. The night was dark and it was starless. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It was rough weather and rough water, to say the least. The boat was desperately seeking shelter in the Cleveland Harbor. The crew on board could see the lighthouse light, but they needed to find their way through the channel. Normally, there were lower lights on the channel that aligned with the lighthouse so the captain could simply navigate the passage. But on this night, those lower lights, those channel markers, were gone. They were present, but they were not reflecting any light off of the water, and they certainly were dim or out. After tossing about for hours in danger of the ship sinking, the captain made a decision to head in. All he could see was the lighthouse beacon. But the channel markers, the lights that on the lower end of the surface that reflect the light onto the water, those marker lights were out, and so he simply had to guess. With a strong hand on the wheel and a brave heart, the captain turned the wheel and headed for shore. Tragically, he misguessed. The boat crashed and the crew and the ship were lost. Now, I know this is not the outcome of the story you would hope to hear in a sermon title this morning, but there's a lesson to be learned here. So let's put this scene, much like John, the book of John gives us a literary sketch. Let's put this story into a literary sketch. The lighthouse is Jesus. The storm and the waves surrounding that boat are our lives. The life that we live, the world we live in, the ocean is the world. And the lower lights and channel markers are me and you. So let me first say the storms of life will always be around us. The ocean will attempt to engulf us each and every day. So accept it and move on. It's coming, whether we want it or not. Don't matter how deeply rooted our faith is, we will face life's storms. Accept it and move on. The lighthouse will always be present in our lives as we are faithful followers of Jesus Christ, and He is our constant in life. And He is always safely anchored on shore in solid footing. You see, Jesus is the Master, and He will take care of the lighthouse. And His light, through promise and holy word and scripture, will always shine. However, it's the lights in the channel markers, me and you, that I want to focus on this morning. You see, in the boat story, the ships entering the harbor, even in the most difficult of weather, could see the lighthouse. They all could. But they also needed to be able to see those lower lights that marked that channel. The lights that align with the lighthouse. Friends, the storms of life put us in peril. You may have one right now that you're battling. But it happens. Those seeking God may long to approach the light of our Father's mercy as described in John today. But as they approach, they are unsure how to navigate the worldly waters we live in. Sometimes we find ourselves being those people who long for God's interruption in our life, who long for that relationship, who long for that hope. Even in faith, we find ourselves there. And the reason I share that with you is we all know where those folks that are lacking in faith have been or where they are because we've been there too. We all have been lost and tossed about by the sea of life. So here's the point. God uses His faithful followers, me and you, to rescue those who need help in navigation. If we can keep our lights burning in our hearts and reflecting the light of Jesus coming from the safety of that shore that we know to be anchored in strength and dignity and hope and glory, especially if we align ourselves with the light from above, then our reflections will always cast away the darkness of the sea. And those who are seeking God, even if it's our closest friends who are still in faith but still questioning themselves or their actions, they will have safe passage to Christ through our actions. In short, we are those lower lights. In that story, we must shine so that there is no tragic loss of life. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't ride fences. And we always reflect the light of Christ. We are on the team of Jesus in the bottom of the ninth. It doesn't matter the inning. I don't know what inning we're in right now, and I certainly don't know what out we are. But whether we're in the first, the ninth, or whether we're on the last pitch of life, no, we need to be on Team Jesus. No matter how dark the night, we reflect His light. No matter how dark the storm, how rough the waters, we reflect His light. If we do this, no lives will be lost. And they all will be saved. Those that we touch and help navigate will be saved. And so shall you. It's that simple. It's that easy. And it doesn't take someone standing up here every day defining that on its simplicity. Don't make it more difficult than it is. Now, here's what I'll tell you. You're human. I'm human. And when I tell you not to make it more difficult, you will. Because you're going to come up with an excuse. We all have got them. We've all shared them. We've all tried them. But I want to leave you with this thought before you leave here today and face yet another world outside of this beautiful place, this sanctuary in the woods, where we feel safe and loved. When you travel down this road and you hit that open space, life's going to hit you. It's going to bring you something in the next coming days. And so I want to talk about this real quick. I want to leave you with this thought. If you read the book of John, it's all about Jesus. So I encourage you to do that. But then if you read all the New Testament, it's all about Jesus. And if you read the Old Testament, it's all about the prophecy of Jesus, our Savior. So there's a lot of information in here about Jesus. So I ask you this question. How many times did Jesus speak of love in this book? How many times did He speak about mercy, grace, and light? Let me go ask you just a little bit deeper question. How many times did Jesus share His love in this book? How many times did He share His mercy and His grace? And how many times did He share His light? Now, I don't have the answer to that question, and you don't either. I could ask all of you to count it up, and I don't know we'd have an answer by next week. But here's the question I want to leave you with. In the same book, in both Testaments, in the book of John, wherever you want to look, how many times did Jesus give you an excuse? So why would you give one? You have none. Not as a follower of Jesus Christ. You have no excuse. Our purpose. Everybody says, well, what's our purpose as a Christian? Reflect Christ's light. Our purpose is to leave our light in this world as reflected by Jesus Christ. Thus, doing so, we bring safe passage to those who are seeking safety in God Almighty, in the shore of salvation, where the lighthouse rests firmly on a foundation. If we reflect His light, they too shall be saved. Now that is something to worship about, and that is something to glorify. Amen.